This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey everyone, how's it going? Gosh, has it been a week already? Hard to believe, man. It goes by so fast these days. I guess I'm getting older, but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Better than the alternatives.
Right. Exactly. You know, every day above ground is a good day.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, welcome. If you haven't been here before, we're glad that you came this time. As you guys know, we're here every week, every Wednesday, late afternoon here on the West Coast, about 5:30 p.m. And it's really cool. I know it's a lot later in a lot of other places, like where Toons lives, it's like 2:30 in the morning. So I think it's awesome that you guys are willing to show up. And, you know, for a lot of people, I know it's kind of like dinner time, or even later in the evening. So it's awesome to have you here. If you're watching on Facebook, you can always jump on in to the Zoom room with us here. There's a link in the description. Just click on that link. And if I see you, I'll let you in. And you can kind of join the panel here while we talk about everything to do with shower doors. And it's fun stuff, man. Telling you what. So, yeah, so today I was just thinking about this, and I was actually doing a little bit of writing, kind of working on a shower door installation guide, and just kind of talking about, you know, some of the issues you run into in the design process. So that's kind of what I'm working on. So I thought, if you had an opportunity, like early in a design, before the tile was done, before the shower stall was put together, and you could tell the installer that was doing the work, you know, the contractor starting out, one thing to do that was going to make your job easier when it came time to do the shower door. Now, you can only tell them one thing. What would that one thing be?
Blocking.
What's that?
Blocking. Wood.
Yeah. Wood. Expand on that.
Well, make sure your inside's got plenty of blocking to hold the weight of the door that you're going to put up or any other design issues. Blocking would be the number one thing I would think of.
Hard to argue with that, but I'd tell him to keep the curb sloped in.
Yeah, but that can be done when the tile's set. You catch them in the framing process. That can't be changed unless you go in behind the wall or tear it down, put a nice heavy door up, and there's nothing there but backer board and tile.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, even if the whole shower stall was done, you could pop the curb up and, you know, they could redo the tile on the curb, but it's pretty hard to tear the whole thing out and put some blocking in behind where the hinges go, isn't it?
A little tough. Yeah. I think Bill says his guys carry drywall and wood to go in from the other side when they have to. I've never done that, but
yeah, speaking of Bill,
contract. Happy birthday, child.
Oh man, what if we all sang happy birthday to Bill? That would be horrible.
Only if you're recording it.
We absolutely are recording it. Oh man, that would be I can't even bring myself to do that.
Yeah. Where's your guitar at, Chris?
Don't do it. We're trying to attract people.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Thank you. I never rushed out of a restaurant faster. The service was so slow tonight. We're rushing to get home here. I'm going, oh my God, it's late. We made it.
I can't believe you even showed up, man, on your birthday. I mean, I'm so honored, man.
For you, Chris? Yes. Oh, man. For you, Chris.
What a great life I have.
There you go.
Yeah, it's got the best friends and stuff.
You're an inspiration.
Great friends, great customers, you know, great colleagues. What a great life it is.
Look at everybody we got tonight. Good crowd.
Yeah. We've been getting a good bunch of people here. And actually, let's see. Is there anybody here who's hasn't been on the call before?
I've never been here before.
No. That's what I was thinking. Robert, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Winnipeg, Canada. I'm assuming you guys are all in the States. I'm a pretty small business. Just called the Shower Door Guy. And it's just me and I have a helper. We're just super busy here. There's so many shower doors. I don't know what it is about Winnipeg, but everybody seems to want to have a shower door.
Oh, that's great news, man. So how long have you been doing this?
I've been installing for about 25, 27 years. Wow. But as the shower door guy, 14 years now.
Very good.
Yeah, decided to quit my job and say I'm just going to start this business.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So what are they? Is there licensing in Canada? Do you have to be licensed to do it, or can you just start it on your own?
You can just start it on your own. There's no, we don't have schools, or you can't learn it here. So trying to teach somebody to do this is next to impossible. I don't know. I think you guys have schools or classes or something there in the States, but in Winnipeg, it's pretty hard. I've had employees in the past, and trying to teach them is a nightmare. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to get this. So sure. I'll just do it all on my own.
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, I've been watching you guys for about a year now. I think I've joined the Shower Door Professionals, and got lots of great ideas from all the pictures and stuff like that. I started doing the ghost header that you guys call it, I think. We've never done that before. Doing that, and it's pretty popular.
Oh, the Phantom. That's the glass one.
Yeah, doing that.
What he's talking about is, I don't know who coined that phrase, ghost header. I think it might have been Brandon DeCastro. But he's talking about where you use a glass transom, a fixed transom, in place of a metal header, right?
Oh. I thought he was talking about the Phantom slider with the glass header.
Oh yeah, okay. I've seen that before too. We've never used it here. I've never seen it live, but what Chris said. I don't know who called it the ghost header, but it's pretty popular. A lot of my customers just love it now.
Yeah, it's a pretty good solution. And you know, me too. I mean, I'm listening to you talk. I'm thinking, yeah, I've learned a lot of stuff from the group. It's amazing. The ideas that I've got from just seeing other people's posts, and you know, not everybody's willing to share their secrets, you know, but a lot of guys are. A lot of guys are confident enough to where they're willing to say, hey, this is how I do it, and you know, this might work for you. And I've picked up some pretty cool ideas from watching other guys.
Yeah, I know you guys use a lot of the clamps to hold your glass in place, and here where typically it's all channel. Everything is channel, and it's a lot to do with the climate. I mean, you know, we're minus 35 right now, so I don't know how that works for you guys, but it's cold. So I think there's a lot of movement, a lot of shifting with homes. So a channel kind of helps a lot of forgiveness there.
I see what you're saying. So like the expansion and contraction, that compensation that you get from using a channel is helpful for that.
Yeah. You know, Chris, that's something we've never really talked about. And it's an interesting factor, because I had that when I was in Massachusetts before I moved down. Every heating and cooling season, you would see the contracting of the studs. And if you're doing a door and panel, it's very close. And then heating season comes and it expands the wood, and then they start touching. And you have to do service calls. We've never really talked about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because just the other day I got called, you know, from customer callback. They're like, hey, yeah, you know, the glass is starting to rub. And, you know, just the house settling, or just the extra weight, you know, hanging off the wall, if you're using wall mount hinges, can just cause it, you know, to settle a little bit, even if the hinges are super tight. So it's not unusual, you know, maybe a month later I get a call. I don't mind going back and doing the adjustment just to show them, you know, what a great guy I am, you know, but it's funny. A lot of times I'll get out there and they'll be like, oh, it's not rubbing anymore. Do you guys ever have that?
Oh yeah.
Had a call today. It was the same thing. Well, it's not rubbing now, but it was yesterday. I'm like, that's the weather, the house contracting and moving. And yeah.
So if you go to the mechanic, you know, your car is never doing, you know, what it was doing before you went to the mechanic.
But you take it in.
We get into it all the time because of our elevation change. If you come see the houses here, like we call them stilt houses. So they're built on steel structures or wood structures to deal with the elevation change. And we get a lot of movement, but it's hard to convince a homeowner that that's the reasoning why you're getting that, you know, that spread and squeeze on a door and panel or something. But yeah, we get it pretty regular.
Billy, you can almost track your service calls when you start getting a lot of them. And it's right as the season changes to heating season from air conditioning, coming out of the summer, you're going into the fall. And as soon as you start putting that heat on in the house, especially ones with wooden studs as opposed to metal studs, you see that expansion and contraction. And you can look at the number of service calls you get, the calls that come in. You might get two a week, and all of a sudden you're getting 20 for this week. And the timing is just uncanny. It's oh, yeah. Exactly that.
We're fighting slit doors right now, but we go out and the door profile is still clean on the back of the hinge. So there's something else going on, and that's this time of year. It's a constant headache, but you have to go back out, because I'm not gonna, you know, I can't leave the homeowner with glass grinding. So yeah, in our area, with the change in temperature, where we'll go from single digits to 60 in the same day, it's a pretty prevalent thing. So for sure.
What would be good is if you kept track of your original dimensions when you ordered the glass, and then take your dimension again when you went on a service call and track it and see if it's changed.
True, real true.
We had one yesterday where.
Go ahead, Michael. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I said we had a call yesterday on a door we installed approximately 10 years ago, glass to glass hinges. The call came to me and they said that the door glass was touching the inline panel. I sent two of my techs out, and they said the hinges were appeared to be binding, as if you started to open it and it didn't want to go. They worked with it a little bit, and they took the door off and took the hinges off. And my lead tech, who's been with me for about 16 years, said, we got to get them new hinges. He said it, the way he described it to me was it looked like there was degradation going on in the inside the hinge. And this was a door I had purchased from Southeastern Aluminum many years ago. I don't know if you guys run into any of that, but that was, I'd never heard of one where they thought we had degradation going on in the hinge.
Oh, well, I don't know. I've seen it, but not on a glass to glass. So we don't do as many glass to glass as regular wall hinges. So I guess it's possible.
Well, for CRL, the warranty on hinges is like 3 years.
How many?
Three. So, I mean, hinges will last I've seen them last 10 or 20 years, you know, before, if people really take care of them. But, you know, I think it probably depends on the climate. Here we're close to the ocean, so stuff tends to break down a little more quickly. You know, we're here in the chat. David Glenn is talking about how fiberglass pans, if they're not supported properly, they'll kind of sag in the middle, so that, you know, over time, you know, if you've got a panel and that the weight is in the middle, it'll kind of start to sag over time. That's a good point.
Yeah, we had, or I had one house that shifted so much that my glass was actually out of the channel by 3/8 of an inch. So the only thing that was holding in place was the header on the top, because back then I was using headers, but the wall had moved so much that it actually pulled, and the glass had come out right out of the channel. So we had to take it all apart, double up on the channel, so that when it did shift, it wouldn't come out again. It wasn't going to come back as much. So it shifts quite a bit here in Manitoba.
Never heard of that much movement. Was that a mobile home?
No, that was a brand new build. And in the area that the house was built, it's a little swampy. So they're building all their homes on piles, but sometimes, they're builders, right? They're going to cut corners where they can sometimes, and stuff is going to happen. Just got to work with it.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. I mean, yeah, I can't imagine working in those conditions. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, in the winter, like right now, it's, we go pick up our glass, and then, by the time you get to the job site, it's all frozen and it's cold, even though my van, it's inside a van. And, it takes, 10, 15 minutes for it to thaw out decently where you want to move it around. So sometimes, it can be a little touchy.
Totally.
Where are you guys from? I see Chris, Tim, and some guy at the bottom. I don't see his first name. Where are you guys all from?
I'm across the bay from Chris, from the Monterey area, Monterey, California.
Okay. So nice and warm.
Not right now.
No.
No, it's been, well, we had a heat wave last week, and then Sunday night, it just went cold.
It's freezing here. It's like 70 degrees Fahrenheit now.
Yeah, it is.
You shut your mouth if you know it's good for you. We got 3 inches of snow today. It's cold. I'm in Montana. I live in Missoula, but
it's hilarious. Where's Baba Tunde is still here. Tunes, what's the temperature like? He's in Africa. So he's even further away than you, Robert.
He wins yeah. Furthest away every week.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've seen his work, and he does pretty nice work there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, I like your pictures. You got to post some more.
Thank you.
Just see, no, it's 3 a.m. there. That's why he's so dark all the time.
Yeah.
So,
Bill, you might like this. This virtual backdrop. I snapped this picture last week at the historic Lumberjack Saloon in Lolo, Montana, formed after the Great Burn. Bunch of history, and this bar is one big solid log hollowed out, and that they created. So, all sorts of fun little gems when you finally come visit me. Since you go visit everyone else on this call.
Yeah, really. It may still happen. I think Keith just got another job out there. He might be out shortly. Yeah.
You better.
Hey, Chris, I just sent you an inbox. Keith's trying to log on. He's waiting for your acceptance.
I saw that. I just sent him the link. So maybe he'll find his way in here.
All right. I'll text him.
I don't think we've ever had him on the call before.
I don't know if we want him either.
No. How many people have to sounds leave? Like fun to me. It sounds like a party.
There's not a lot of space for both of us.
Be careful what you ask for, right?
We both shouldn't be in the same room. Maybe I'll leave when he shows up.
I feel like 3 people got to drop for Keith to come in.
Yeah, right?
I'll be one. I'll volunteer.
It's like a crazy chemical experiment. Let's see what happens when we mix all these things together.
Yeah, the other one is Eric Stern. I've never met Eric Stern before.
Yeah, Eric, have you been on this call before?
I've watched it, but I've never been on it.
Okay, well, welcome.
Yeah, you should introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're at, what you do.
My name is Eric Stern. I own Moffett Glass in Greeley, Colorado, just north of Denver. And we're a full service glass shop.
Great.
Awesome. Greeley, Colorado. What's it like? What's the weather like there right now?
We got 3 inches of snow today.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But you're not minus 20 though, right?
No, it was in the 30s today.
There we go.
Yeah, so. my wife is from that area. She grew up in Kansas and Colorado. She actually lived in Greeley for a while. And her brother is in Denver.
Crazy small world. I never heard of Greeley. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Robert, we're from Florida.
Yeah.
Brian's in Greater Philadelphia, New Jersey area. Is that right?
I'm up in northern New Jersey, just over the line from New York State.
I've always been very curious when New York or these extremely large cities, like, do you cover just an area or do you I've never been, so do you do like the entire city? Like, is it?
I don't go into New York City. It's like a whole different world out there. Trying to live out there is one thing. Trying to work out there is just, there's too many factors that you have to deal with, parking and, you know, lugging your tools up in, you know, freight elevators. And so I don't go into the city. I stay on the outskirts, but I service mostly northern New Jersey. I'll go into like Rockland County and Westchester County in New York State, which is kind of just over the line, but not actually in the heart of the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't imagine with the traffic and stuff in these large cities would be just, yeah, here. I mean, we're 700,000, I guess, and, you know, parking's not bad, but most of the time, just got to watch out for the snow.
Precisely. Yeah, so we started out talking a little bit about kind of the design phase. If you had a chance to talk to the contractor who is building the shower that you were going to later install a shower enclosure into, and you could tell them one thing that would help you make your job easier, just one thing, what would you tell that guy to do?
Studs behind the wall.
Yep, that's a popular one. Make sure there's studs especially where the hinges are going, right?
Yeah.
No glass tile.
Hey, look, there's Keith. He's got his Metallica t-shirt on. He's going to be moshing here in the mosh pit.
What's up, boys?
What took you so long, man?
Still getting used to this social media internet thing.
I know. You're a newbie. It's okay.
Daddy's got to teach him.
When you do get used to it, just make sure you post 400 times a day. Good to see you, Keith. I love it.
Look comes to Keith.
Keith, that's Toons.
What's Keith? Up, Toons?
Good to see you. Yeah.
Good to be seen.
Hey, Keith, you must be special. It's the first time you put his light on.
Yeah, sometimes we hear him snoring, you know.
He's actually put his light on tonight.
Yeah, we're like white noise to him, you know.
No kidding.
We got a scarcity of fuel, so I have to buy a fuel to put in my generator to put the light on.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks like you got a strobe light going on there. Are you in a discotheque or what?
You see the kids? The kids are sleeping in the net.
All right.
Oh, he's giving us a tour.
That looks like my office.
So, Keith, tell us a story, man.
Who's on this whole call here? Am I going to get in trouble?
No way. We're all friends here. Nobody's going to see this anyway.
We just received our first large piece from Rochester insulated glass. I mean, massive. It's 12.5 by 17 feet. Whoa. And I made sure to structure this deal that the contractor was going to use a crane to drop this thing and take it right off the truck for us. I mean, we were just pushing paper on this, not touching a thing. And I got there today and the whole second floor is already on. There's no way for this piece of glass to get into the house right now. And the story's still building. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea how they're going to get this in the house now. So wow. That's my story for the day. Don't know what to do.
That's kind of a sad story.
It's in progress. I mean, I got to imagine there's going to be a cost for stored materials and I'm going to have to think outside the box here, but it's $120,000 worth of glass. I don't know how they're going to get it in the house.
Wow.
What, did they forget they ordered it?
No, job foreman, you know, we were plugging along and they made some changes. We ordered the glass and they were supposed to lift it in conjunction with the second floor trusses. It's the only way we could get this thing out of the street into the house. And lack of communication, I guess, on everybody's part to make sure the second floor didn't go on before the glass arrived. So anxious to see what happens tomorrow.
What's this piece of glass floor?
It's a wine. It's probably the largest wine cellar. It's in a homeowner's living room, but it takes up a good portion of the entire wall to showcase this wine. But it's 3/8 over 3/8 laminated with a 1/2 inch airspace and then a piece of 1/4 inch. I mean, so it weighs like 1,200 pounds.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's massive.
I see an opportunity, Keith, for you to sell a new hole in the wall and a brand new glass application and a new fresh hole they'll be cutting tomorrow.
We'll figure a way to make some money off of this opportunity for sure.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Key is to take the lemons life gives you, turn into lemonade, and then sell that lemon.
Of course, for a premium, top shelf, baby.
Well, let us know how that goes. At least post about it. That's a cool story that makes us all feel better about our little errors that get made on the daily.
Oh, yeah. Most of my stuff's positive and uplifting, but definitely got kicked in the balls today for sure. So we'll see what we can turn it around and make good out of it.
Yeah, you know, it's important to share that kind of stuff because we see someone like Keith Dobbin, we think, oh, man, you know, this guy is living a charmed life, you know? I mean, I'm sure nothing ever goes wrong.
Yeah. You know,
in his world.
No, we don't. We like to post all the winners.
One time a mistake happened, but then we found out it actually wasn't his fault.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
that's right. One time I thought I was wrong, but it turned out I was mistaken.
It was a mistake.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a good one. Yeah, you know, it's easy to go in. I mean, this has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but, you know, sometimes we'll go in and do a measure and it's a little bit complicated. Maybe it's a big steam shower or something. And so you're so focused on, you know, getting those dimensions right. Maybe there's some geometry that you're figuring out. And then you walk away from the job and it's like you really didn't take time to make sure that you can get the glass, you know, in and up the stairs and around the corner. And there has been times I've gone back and it was like, oh no, you know, I mean, I don't know. And, you know, we've always made it work so far, right?
It just makes it. I knew what I was doing the whole time.
Exactly. I mean, it can get a little hairy, but something like that, I mean, there's just no fudging it. It's like, what's going to have to happen? They're going to have to pull the roof off or something, you know?
It's the second floor. The roof's not on yet, but all the second floor trusses are in. And I think it'll fit through the front doorway because it's just cinder block now, but the thing's going to be at a massive angle. I don't know how, it's just so heavy and top heavy. I don't know how the hell we would do that. So we'll see. I'm supposed to meet there tomorrow, so I'll give you guys an update next week.
Awesome. Can you actually post while you're walking it in?
I posted today there. Before I even walked in the job, I'm like, oh, this is cool. The crane's moving. Let me hurry up and get a video.
And I walked in there and, you know, it was a steaming turd because all the rafters were on. And so I went from hero to zero real quick.
Yeah, yeah, so we got your little drone flying behind you, you know, chasing you in there.
That's a good idea. Yeah, we should have that for that. We're going to do that.
You'll put the GoPro on top of the cable.
Oh, I got a story, Chris. I got a story. This is a good one. I'm in the showroom today training. I'm training. I'm not allowed to talk to any of the new employees until their 90-day probation period's over, just so we can harden them up a little bit. And they come to me and say, hey, listen, we got some meat on here. Got a customer, went out, measured. They went out, got some options. They want to see what else is on the market. Ultimately came back. So we know they want to do business, but of course the price needed to be looked at. And so I says, you know, what are we comparing it against? And she showed me a bid from one of our competitors, but she blocked out the pricing, but left in bold print across the bottom, quotation supplied by Bid Clips. And I'm thinking, oh, I am not losing this one. No way. No way. I'll give it away.
We're just the arms dealer. Okay, we just supply the tool. We don't get in the way.
You're done.
You all go have fun.
You're done.
Advocate for clients. Look, my name tag says Dobman Mustache Ambassador for a reason. All right, don't worry. I'm neutral here.
Done. I said, give me that. I'll call the customer right now. This is done.
Hey, but you know our bid looked good at least.
Yeah. You can go back in on the administrator and close that as a lost deal. That one's gonzo.
Love it.
All right. That's my story.
It's a great story. Let's change topics over to, you know, if you guys want to try to beat Keith and get him real mad, you should definitely start sending him the bids from us. But I loved last week, the last 2 weeks, Keith, especially you on the call, you and Bill, we got like freaking Jordan and Pippen here. Last week and the week before, the questions were brought forward, which I thought was really fun. And I learned a ton. Obviously, I spoke more than I like to sometimes, but I really liked that. And so we got a couple new people on today. Well, unless you had another agenda, Chris, I kind of liked rolling with that, like a specific question, you know, forum. But I don't want to hijack the meeting. But I really like that.
Oh yeah, man! If there's a question, it's always good to, you know, to kind of field those and see, have everybody's kind of chime in on their take.
I have a quick question for everybody. I'd done a shower today. I posted it. It was a pretty funky neo angle. Neither angle was 135, but my hinge panel was a notched panel, and the long leg of the notch was, I think it ended up being 3 5/8 overall, if I'm not mistaken. But there was somebody that responded to my post, and they had said that they were taught or informed that the minimum width for glass to glass hinges was 6 inches. I'd never heard that before. Is that like an industry standard? Is that just a company standard? Have you guys heard of, like, do you have minimums that you work with? Or
here it's 5 inches. We won't go anything. They won't do anything less than 5 inches. If it's not hinging a door, then they can go as small as maybe 3.5. But if you're hinging a panel, then, or a door, it's 5 inches.
And that's your fabricator won't fabricate it, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they'll kick it out of there and say you got to redo the measurement or something, change, make the door smaller, make the panel bigger or something.
Yeah, like I got no kickback from my fabricator, or, you know, they never reached out to me and said, hey, listen, you might want to reconsider.
Is the whole piece of glass only 3 5/8? Or you're just saying the icicle part of the notch is 3 5/8? How big is the top part of it?
The top part of it was overall, I think it was 38 maybe.
What's the size of the hinge, the glass to glass hinge that's going on?
It was a glass to glass hinge. It was a Maxim series from US Horizon.
So your notch is 2.5 feet, right?
So my notch is
like inch and 3/4.
inch and three quarters.
Yeah, you could get away with that. I mean,
yeah.
I would do a pivot hinge.
That's what I was thinking, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't get a pivot hinge up there. The whole layout was funky, but it wasn't an option. So
yeah, look, I saw the pictures. It looked funky.
It was crazy. It was.
But you did a great job on it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I was sweating.
Yeah, that's the one you just posted sweating. Earlier, right?
Yeah. I was sweating it a little bit, man. I was like, oh God, I hope this thing goes in all right. And it worked.
I love that feeling. That's my favorite part, man. Is when it's like, oh, this is not going to work. This isn't going to work. And then you make it work. That's and awesome, dude.
Yeah. Bittersweet.
I think it's a manufacturer thing for sure. I don't think it's like I don't think it's a set rule. I mean, I've got different manufacturers that they'll tell me the exact, you know, not the exact opposite, but tell me the different things on the same piece of glass. And I've got to go with what they'll do, you know, because I can't alter it unless I change it. Sometimes I'll just change stuff to being a single piece of glass, even though it fits into a bigger shower. So they won't understand the layout and give me shit about, you know, what I've designed. So I'll do that sometimes. But yeah, I think it's manufacturer to manufacturer. And then what you feel comfortable with, you know, if it's too thin, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm a switch hardware usually. But yeah, I think it's just depending on who's making it and what that person's been told by whoever in their building,
mm-hmm.
or what
sometimes you got to go with your
whatever their program says. That's what I get all the time is the program won't let us do that. And I'm like, well, piss on the program. Just draw it and cut it with the water jet and send it to me.
Give me what sometimes I'm ordering.
Yeah.
So Brian, I'm looking at the picture now. I don't understand why you couldn't use a pivot there because you can pivot it off of that transom. You can go glass to glass. Yeah, the top part of the pivot go up into that transom. And forget about dealing with the notch panel.
Yeah, I guess I could have. Yeah, the transom was added after the fact. So, yeah, if the transom was in the design originally, yeah, I could have put a glass-to-glass pivot.
Yeah.
It's the tempering because we can temper. I think Bryce tempered 2.25. We've tempered all the way down to a skinny little piece, 2.25.
Oh, wow.
So it's all operator. We found out too recently, I don't know, I've got heat for saying this on some posts, but if you get a piece that's really bowed or cupped in relation to the inline panel, it can actually be re-tempered.
Yeah.
And so they just change, but some of these tempering houses say, no, you can't do that, it's too dangerous. It's operator. If the operator knows what they're doing on the machine, they adjust the blowers during the quench phase and they can reverse the, you know, if it's cupped, they'll make it bowed or flatten it out. So it's all on the operator of the furnace.
Which is funny because a lot of the operators aren't educated. And like, I was just going to say, Billy, to your point, I did the first couple homes in Yellowstone Club years ago because I'm old as balls. And there were some applications they only do in Florida. And there were a couple times that I ran the design past some bigger shower shops and our little fabricators here just refused to do it. And we had to just order them as one-off pieces. So that lends to that bigger discussion of the power of this group, power of the Dobbins, power of Chris Phillips. If you run into some of that stuff, load it through some of the community because you might find you can, you know, because if you know the design is going to work and you get that verified, that's where it's not always, you can't just take fabricators for their word. Now, that doesn't mean you go slap in a little drop piece and a piece of tile and then hope it doesn't fall on somebody. But it means like, you know, we have to get creative. We have to also, in a loving way, encourage fabricators. Hey, this is how they're kind of doing it. And even connect them to another fabricator. You know, I think of Glenn from Reno, Cardinal Showers. He was like my go-to sensei years ago. And he was willing to learn. He's a hard old brute sometimes, but he was willing to learn. I'd say, hey, why don't you call this person? So I think we all have to educate each other too. And I love that about these calls. Like just now, Brian, like great way to bring that. You told me about that one earlier today. That shower, this is powerful. So we need to all keep doing more of that. So yeah. Good stuff.
It'd be great if Brian could send a picture and get it in the hands of that tempering operator and get them more excited because I know I see our guys, you know, they're just pushing glass through that machine all day. You know, some guys take a lot of pride. Luckily ours do, but I show them the pictures. They love seeing that pictures. You know, they don't get to see the finished product. So if you could get some pictures to them somehow, you'd be surprised what they'd be willing to do for you knowing they had something to do with that project.
That's a great point.
Yeah, because
they never get to see the finished
tempering. Nobody brags about the tempering house.
because they don't get to see the end product. They don't give a shit. They're just chasing numbers. But when they start to see that, wow, my work actually, I built that, you know, they start taking a lot more pride in it.
Well, and post them, give them shout outs in your post, build that vendor trust that I think Bill, you were talking about 2 weeks ago, that'll help your supply chain. That kind and firm builds that supply chain relationship. And I mean, Keith's bringing up a good point. These guys work their butts off, and you know, in our area, they don't get hardly credit at all. And especially if it's a large piece or something unique, like that's, they're nervous too. When that goes on the truck, hoping that the second floor is not on the house already, you know, so showing them it got done, showing them it looks good. That's a great, great feedback. Good point.
Yeah, I think so with the sales reps too. That's been big with our inside sales reps, the guys that you know you have a phone relationship with or an email relationship with that you deal with. You know, you may deal with the same guy or girl for 5 to 10 years and never meet them. Shoot some pictures of your work to them, and it makes them feel better about going out on a limb for you when you're asking them to, you know, temper or cut something or design something they're not comfortable with. And then you show them like, here, look at what we did with what you kind of bought in with us. That's been good. And it's been good with me because there's been a lot of turnover with some of our manufacturers, and I'll build a relationship for a few years and then I lose that person. And it's a whole new startup, you know, trying to rebuild that relationship, especially when you're dealing with problems and, you know, it's this piece is wrong and that piece is wrong and this doesn't fit. And you guys sent me the wrong cutouts, to throw them some imagery, of what we're doing, does help. And I forget to do it a lot of times, but like our harder stuff, I'd be like, check out what it ended up looking like when you and I were going back and forth arguing on whether we could do it or not. It turned out pretty sweet. So that's, you know, the sales reps is a good place to hit that up too. All those folks, you know, letting them feel a little bit of the joy of all the posts that we do.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a story Bill Dobman told one time about how when they get a truck and get it all wrapped and stuff, they'll get a photo of it and frame that photo and send it to the dealership where they bought the truck. And then that dealer will hang it on the wall. And everybody who goes in that dealership is going to see that truck and see their brand, you know, see their logo. Man, that is brilliant. And this is something that's like right along those same lines. Don't forget about the people, you know, who are downstream, upstream, I don't know which way streams go. But, you know, get back to those people who never see those photos, never get to be a part of that finished product, because they are on the team, you know, and it's brilliant.
Especially with the supply chain issues, you guys, with everybody's talking about supply chain. It's not shortages. They're slow down, but they're still going to send it to people. Now the question becomes, who are they sending it to first? They're going to send it to people they like first. And so the pictures here, the video plugs there, doesn't cost anything, but puts us at the front of the line. Everybody wants to be at the front of the line. It's okay.
And pay your bills, and that'll also send to people who pay their bills fast. We found so.
Yes.
There's so much truth.
Oh, the other thing about the pictures, nothing about the pictures, Chris, too, is your guys' custom contractors, especially the smaller ones that are getting rolling. If you put a nice picture, I used to do this again with T-Dot Heritage Builders, my friends at these contractors, you just do take a picture of that shower and say, thank you, T-Dot Heritage, you know, we appreciated your work. Then they see it as they're choosing who they're going to take their showers to, et cetera. I mean, there's just such a power in just a framed picture and a personal handwritten thank you card that's as good as a whole sales route sometimes. My mom used to deliver lemon bars. I still hear about those lemon bars. It's like she's been retired for years. People still ask for them. So there's a lot of little things that go really far with suppliers.
Great topic. Yeah, and with everyone, you know, I mean, with everyone, it goes far. I was just talking to someone the other day, I think a general contractor, we're just kind of shooting the breeze, and he was talking about just taking care of his guys, you know, the guys on his crew, and how, you know, a funny thing, it's like some bosses will like be really stingy with like blades and bits and little stuff like that, and it's like, dude, those are the things that your crew is using to get the work done. And just showing up like, hey, do you need some drill bits? Here's some brand new drill bits. Here's a new tool. I mean, it's like, it's a no-brainer, you know, but people who are kind of stingy, they never get that. And it's funny, you know, you're just giving the guy, I mean, it's like giving your wife a blender, you know, for Valentine's Day. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not a great, it's not a very romantic gift, you know, but for a guy, you know, a tool is like a toy, you know, and it's like, you're giving them something to work with and they're just stoked that you're thinking about them and that you're trying to help them, you know, get the job done faster.
Yeah. Every Christmas I buy a bunch of Tim's cards or Timmy's coffee, Tim Horton's coffee. And I give them to all my site supervisors for the builders that I work for. Because those are the guys that I talk to on a regular basis. You know, I need this done because I do a lot of work with builders. And they really appreciate that because, you know, they're the ones that are, they'll you know, inform me before they're going to inform somebody else. So I keep on their good side all the time.
Yeah, so along those lines that we were talking about earlier about just getting, you know, throwing something out there to get advice, you know, from other guys in the business. Since we've got Keith here, I mean, who knows? He may never be on the call again. So while he is here, you know, if you guys don't know, if you're not like following him, he's pretty much on LinkedIn. That's where he lives. And if you're not on LinkedIn and you're not connected with him, you don't get to see like all the magic that he's doing. I mean, really, it's like every day. This guy is just so brilliant and just has such funny, smart, clever ideas. I mean, like all the time, I don't know where he gets it. I'm sure he's got a team of writers who are working for him, you know, writing stuff for him. But anyway, if just, I know there's no way that you could probably do a master class on this and we don't have time for that today. But I'm wondering if just in a couple of sentences, you could kind of get to the nub of, what's a good idea for making a quick, short video that, you know, gets people engaged?
Sure. The first thing I want to say, just unpacking that real quick, is I think it's been widely said in any sales book or schooling that you've gone to that a customer, a new potential lead, a lot of times you have to have multiple touches before you can start to build rapport, ultimately to trust, and then to do a deal together. And one of the kind of innocuous benefits with all the videos is I'm getting all these touches before they even meet me. So a lot of the potential clients that I'm dealing with that happen to consume, hopefully consume the content, kind of already, just like you said, they either like it or they don't. And if they're dealing with me, I'm assuming they like it. And it makes that uncomfortable beginning having to build rapport and explain, you know, all of our value proposition and do all the name dropping. I don't need to do that anymore. And so I started double down on it. And, you know, producing content can be a pain in the ass because you're like, okay, after 3 days, what else am I going to post? And so I just started to just say, you know, every day, every single one of us goes through something that either a potential customer's looking for or doesn't know it's available yet, or, you know, information I wasn't normally willing to give out before because I was afraid my competitors were going to find out and then they're going to put us out of business. And, you know, I got over that real quick. And so just giving, giving, giving. So I said, you know, I'm going to dedicate every day, whatever I come across. Today, there was a crane in the background. I said, you know, let's just jump on and do, you know, do a selfie video and post it. But it's the repetition. It's not just one post and it's not any post. It's the repetition of the post, you know, the old adage, water beats the rock. And I found probably just after about 6 months of doing these constant posts every day, and I had to get through the beginning. I know my father's on here. He's one of them. Bryce in the factory and a lot of the other guys like to hammer on a couple of my bad posts every now and then, but they don't mention all the good ones. And what ends up happening is it's just slowly building rapport with all these customers. It's just made my job a lot easier when I'm going out and still actively selling every day. So it's given me a leg up over my competition. And not only that, none of my competitors are doing it. So it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, if somebody's consuming the content and then calls to book an appointment, I mean, this is good as done. They already know me. They know what they're looking for. None of my competitors are on LinkedIn doing it. So it's, you know, I'm competing against myself in that arena. But I definitely stay away from the politics, religion, politics. You know, even though I happen to be very vocal off social media on where I stand on that, my shower believes both Democrats, believe it or not, and Republicans shower. And so we want to sell to both of them. And so we don't talk politics. We don't talk religion. And I like to put my own shtick on it, of course, too. You know, I like to have the humor. That's just how I am anyway. So it's not really a facade. And it's just worked well. It's just worked well. I'd encourage everybody to do it.
Yeah. And the one thing you guys all have, if you don't have the cool little tools of like the cartoons and stuff, you all have great projects every day. And we can't show people enough. Sometimes we get too humble. We get too afraid to share our work, and your customers need to see your work over and over again. And Keith, you do a good job of that. You blend in other things. But for those of us on this call, you can start with just something as simple as showing your work. I mean, I'm in software, so I don't have the luxury of getting to show showers every day. But you all do. Show them every project. Brian, you posted today. That's easy. Doom, post. And once you get some good ones, you know, if you need a platform like ours, you can put them in, then your customers see it on every single bid. You know, then you have a way to show, make people look at it too with technology. So I just love what you're doing, Keith. Thanks for that, for sharing that. And you're right. Like your dad said last week, you warm them up enough, you're going to close 90% of the ones you go see. You don't, it's a blender. You might close 4 out of 10. They don't know who you are, and they're not buying price. They are buying whether they trust you and they know you and like you. That's what they're buying. If they don't have those things, who cares how you're priced?
It's never price. And a perfect example, I know it was easy to make mock on you on that Big Clips one, but if a customer came in and got a price from us and then needed to see what else the market had to offer and went out and got other bids and was willing to come back to me with another competitor's bid, that tells me it's not price, because the other price was lower. If it was, it had to do with price, they would have just went with the other one. And so it's incumbent upon us to, you know, use empathy and really dig in what they're after. You know, sounds like you're looking for somebody you can trust. And ultimately that's what it was. She wanted somebody that she can trust, because if it was price, she would have bought it from the cheaper one. Mm-hmm. That said, it was a beautiful quote, Jim, and you shouldn't, you know, feel bad about that, but.
Hey, as long as everybody's quotes are awesome, it helps our industry. So I'm pumped about it. And we get that all the time. People will say, well, yours had a picture and a 3D rendering, and that helped me see what I'm paying for. This other guy, I just had a paragraph. I mean, we have to think about people and what that makes them feel. So I love that. I appreciate it. You can beat up on me all you want, Keith. I love it. Same with you, Bill.
The posting,
you gotta have your mustache on though, Bill, if you're going to beat up.
If there's a shortage of showers too, you know, guys, another thing, I don't know who everybody's on this call, but if there's a lot of installers coming from the installation world myself, I'll tell you one thing that's sexy as hell is a clean truck. You know, I'm on job sites every day and 90% of the construction vehicles I see, pardon my language, are fucking toilets. I mean, the dashboard looks like an office, an unkept office. It's unorganized, but an organized vehicle, let me tell you, you want to talk about a 2 millimeter shift down here in Naples. There's a lot of old geezers. They come out, they want to see what the truck looks like before they even let you in the house. So there's a good temperature of how the human being is going to react in their home with their toolbox and around their beautiful new remodel. So, I show pictures, trucks, you know, your staff, the culture, you know, everything, yeah, anything and everything that you want people to know about you. You know, and I stay away from the basic stuff that, you know, is going to cause riff.
Unless you want a riff.
Yeah. I like the riff.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Who else has got a question? Come on.
What's the group primarily made of, Mr. Phillips? Is there a lot of installers, business owners, salespeople?
We've got legends. A good mix.
Legends, of course.
Yeah, we've got a good mix of all of that. It's pretty amazing. I would say probably it's heavy on the installer end, though. Yeah, a lot of guys who are actually doing the work and want to post their stuff.
And there's salesmen also, though, right? Like yourself and Brian and Robert, they're doing the sale. Billy, same thing. Well, Billy's doing more sales than installing now, right? Brian, you're doing more sales than Brian Jerd. you're doing more sales than installing yourself, right?
I wish it were the case. I'm actually doing, I am my installer.
All right.
My estimator helps me install, but it's just the two of us plus my office manager. So I have actually him, my estimator, doing estimates, because those take more time after hours than after the normal.
Can I ask you
on site?
Yeah. Can I cut you off? When you say the estimate, when they go out to measure, or whoever it is that goes out to measure, are they pricing the job at the home?
No, I don't have that capability right now. I would why not?
Yeah. What do you mean you don't have the kit? Have you bought tempered glass before?
Yes, obviously, but I don't have all of the pricing structure in my spreadsheets to do that, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah. Well, yes, that is what I'm getting. I'm only alluding to because I wouldn't tell you this if you were in this area, by the way, but because you're on this group, Bill and Chris, I imagine you're a good guy.
I'm in Chattanooga, so I'm never a threat to you.
Okay. I believe if a customer is willing to let you, stranger, walk into the home, they've done enough research to believe that you could potentially be solving their problem.
Right.
And so willing to open the doors and let a stranger come in into their bathroom, the most intimate part of their home, and measure. And now you're there where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, if they were given the option to purchase, I would argue, as long as, you know, I don't know how the tone and the tonality is of the conversation, but I'd argue you got a 75% chance of closing it just being in the house.
Yep.
And so not having the ability to actually price it before you leave, I feel like you might be leaving some meat on the bone, possibly, because now the day goes by, it's like, oh, now it's, you know, it's not as urgent, and life gets in the way. God knows what else is going on in their life. But at that moment, they let you in their house. Everybody wants to cross it off the list and get it done.
Yeah.
You know, I would look to see if you could price it at the home, and, you know, I could help you with that if you wanted.
I will take any help any of you are willing to give me. I'm not a beginner, but sometimes I feel like a beginner. I talked with Greg Stowell from Clinton Glass today. Went up there and he was gracious enough to walk me around and have a great conversation. I learned tons from him today. Shout out to him. Any tools that you have that you're willing to share, especially for pricing on site, I'm all about it.
Well,
so Brian, asked you, last time you and I spoke, you were looking at Smart Builder and possibly CRL showers online. One thing a lot of our users, and I want to hear yours too, Keith, but they'll either use, like, for example, someone will use CRL showers online to quote it on their tablet or whatever, and then drop the 3D into either big clips in the home. That's an option.
Right.
Or you've collected in-home consultation. Then when you're there, you could do CRL showers. But I'm going to give you guys a little secret that Keith is going to like. I also, my dad created, and we have it for some of you, we have a pricing guide that allows you to take the size and you get close enough and you can add your little hardware and just tally it up by hand. It's old fashioned, but it's not hard to create. It's not perfect, but I argue with Keith, even if you're losing $40 to close it right there is key. So it could be a spreadsheet. Sometimes we overthink it. We get all caught up on $7 or even $30 when I think a lot of us have to simplify. And I don't mean you can quote everything, but a door panel, guys, at that size, that's why we have the templates. And I mean, you get close enough and you just go with it. And so, Brian, this isn't just for you. This is for everyone on this call. I couldn't agree with Keith more, especially for those of you charging $19 or whatever to get in the home. Then you definitely, all you have but to lose that job. So being able to deliver that, get that final deposit, if they didn't pre-buy it, just don't let the technology and the cost of CRL be a deterrent. You could do a little menu pricing guide, whatever you want to do.
Right.
Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, well, and we don't do that in all houses. If there's a big contractor and there's designers involved, of course, we're not pricing at the house. We come back and we do our proposal and put the lipstick on it, you know, try and make it as nice as bid clips. But when I'm in a residential home, if it's a 5-foot opening, I mean, you've bought enough tempered glass, you know what your square foot price is, holes and notches, you know what those costs are. You throw another nickel on there for your hardware and handle or whatever your cost is. And then whatever your, so now you have your cost of goods sold, you put whatever margin you want on top of there and you write it up. That sounds a lot easier than this. If you had a program like Jim's or however you want to come up with calculating that opening, the right point is a customer is letting a stranger come in the house. They, at that moment, they feel comfortable with you. And I just see it as a shame to leave there and not satisfy their urge to have you come in and mentally be able to cross it off the list and be on to the next thing that they're dealing with and let you rest.
And people are so anxious to hear that number.
Especially today.
That's all they want to know, man. It's like, what is that number? What is that number? Yeah. You know, if you can tell them that on the site, you can leave there with a check.
Oh, my God. We do it every day. Yeah.
90% of the time, people have an idea of what they're willing to spend.
Yes. So
if you're in that range, you're even close to that range.
Exactly.
They don't want to meet two more strangers to come in and get more bids.
Right.
They'd rather write the check and say it's done.
Yeah, even if it's a little more, but they like
it.
Yes.
But what also drives me crazy is we have several clients charging $150. Customers are paying them through BidClips to go measure it. Wow. And then they'll still walk home. I lose the job. Like, two measurements pays for CRL showers online for a month. Three measurements pays for you to learn it. And I'm like, my point is I couldn't like be more of an advocate. I agree with Keith. You have like 5 or 6 enclosures. You got something super funky like Brian just did today where you're talking like a $200 cost variance. But it's $30 for you guys to just drive there. That's your cost. So if you leave 30 off the bid on accident, and guess what? You can negotiate. You go in a little bit high. You say, hey, maybe I can save you at the end of the job. Those of you new in here that are trying to build your businesses, the best thing you could do is go in at $2,300 and at the end of the job say, guess what, ma'am? It ended up being $1,900. We just really appreciate you. We have a reputation of coming in under budget. Tell your friends. The whole apartment complex is calling you. That builds long-term reputation. So I'm not saying that I don't subscribe that to everybody, but that's cheaper than marketing to give $100 back or a gift card or throw in shower coating than it is to go try to find a whole new lead. So obviously I could go off on this topic like Keith, but we have to be able to give that to people, especially if they're paying you. And I know a lot of you using because they're paying you guys to come measure. So be ready to like sit down at their table and work it up on your tablet.
It's rare if I even go out to a measurement without the customer already contacting me and I've given them a ballpark or a picture over the computer or something like that. It's when I do go out for a measurement, I probably already have the job.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to do my final price, but door and a panel or door and two in lines or something like that. We all pretty much know approximately what it's going to cost us, and anything out of the ordinary, then we just add for it. But I don't have to go out and do, there's really not a lot of competition here. So it's mostly you give them the price over the computer. They like it. You go out to do a measurement. It's your job already. So it's fortunate that way.
Awesome. I like the way you think, man. I think you're on the right track. Hey, everyone.
Sorry, you guys were talking about installers and stuff like that. I think someone may have mentioned my name. I price, install, collect, book everything. I'm just a one-man show with a helper.
And actually, back to Keith's question about who the, most people are here, I'd say the average group member are people like you and me who are just kind of like, small, mom and pop, maybe a helper or just maybe two trucks. There's a lot of guys like that out there.
I had two guys that worked for me and I tried that for a number of years, but at best, they may be installing 5-6 doors a day for me, and by myself, I can do 8, 7, 8. So Not like your 10 mil doors. No, sorry. Ours are like 2-panel sliding doors. Those.
Right on.
10 mil doors, four and a panel. Yeah. couple a day. That's about it.
It's warmer.
8 to 10 frameless doors. We're calling the World Book of Guinness.
That's right, man. Yeah.
Well, I'll clarify.
You want to move? It's warmer down here. It's warmer here.
No taxes in Florida. No taxes in Florida.
I'll hire you today. It's warmer.
You're saying all the wrong things, guys. We don't want
you come work with me.
We want powder. We want skiing. We want to stay here. We like it cold and uphill both ways.
I've seen you guys offering jobs all the time. I'm like, man, why am I here? I go get a job with one of you guys.
Hey, and we got two NHL teams down in Florida.
Yeah.
Hey, it's beautiful in Chattanooga this time of year. Come on.
Look up Asheville, North Carolina. Look up Asheville. I've got every one of you trumped. So
don't come to Carmel. It's really nice.
Most of you don't know this about me.
Carmel's in California. Carmel's in California. Sorry.
We got a lot of nice houses down here.
It is beautiful there. I'll come visit you.
Yeah.
Be careful, well, you'll be on a plane with him on the way out too. My goal is to coach pickleball and sell for a Dobman facility once I retire, you know, as a little secretary, sit in the showroom, play pickleball.
You want to tickle what?
You're a pickleball guy.
You don't know this about me, Keith. I'm a semi-professional pickleball player. I actually have a rating. I've been playing forever. No way. Florida's my
pickleball
jam.
Player. Oh my gosh.
You guys haven't played pickleball? It's a great stress reliever for shower people. This is going sideways now.
You need a YouTube.
Make sure you put the pickleball, though. Don't stop.
And we have a tennis court in Carmel that they're fighting over tennis and pickleball.
Should only be pickleball. Heck with tennis. Talk to me offline if you need to be proven otherwise. It's a great stress reliever, a good sport for all of you to play. It's therapy. Yeah.
Well, I hate to break this up, man.
But we got to go.
Having too much fun, but
dinner time. Chris.
Thank you, Keith. It's nice to see you. That you'll humble yourself to our low position and join us.
Exactly. Get out of here! So I just really got on Facebook last week.
I mean, the one shower group. You know, your shower. Yeah, I just say it. Maybe you should come every week and grace us.
I'll be here next week. You can count on it.
Awesome.
Where else am I going to go to tell everybody I stole another job away from
him? We want to know what happened to your insulated panel.
Yeah. Got to hear the end of the story.
That's true.
I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to get video footage.
Awesome. News at 11, huh?
In the chat, we should over under as to whether it breaks. That's what we should all be doing.
No.
Look it up on LinkedIn tomorrow.
We need videos.
Yeah, if you guys aren't following Keith on LinkedIn, man, you need to get on LinkedIn and make sure you're following him. It's a blast. It's highlight of the day, just about every day.
I appreciate that, Chris. That's cool.
Yep, awesome. All right, guys. See you next Wednesday.
We'll be here,
buddy. Yeah, Chris.
Appreciate you.
All right, keep up the good work, guys.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday. Thanks, guys.
Love you, buddy.
Happy 40th, Bill.
See ya.
Yeah, right.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.